So is, Jason's got to pee. I got to take a nap. Will?
Yeah. But maybe we can get the show done and then I can pee. Should I just pee in my seat here? How does that work?
You should do that. You should get one of those.
Or should get one of those microphones that like singers use. I can just take it to the bathroom, right, on a long cord.
And then do you guys mind if I take a nap while you do that?
Oh, wait, you're awake?
Welcome to SmartLess. Smart.
All right, so hi, Will. Hi, Sean.
Hi, Jason.
Oh, hi, Jason.
Hi.
How are you?
Will, you look like you're doing a hostage video. Where are you?
Yeah. Maybe somebody picks you up real soon.
I'm safe. I'm fine. I'm holding up today's newspaper. And,
Are you in? Are you in Atlanta?
I am. I'm in Atlanta.
Are you in a dressing room?
I'm in an office. I'm in a production office.
Oh, really?
So what you have is like a little break? You have a little lunch hour?
They built it around our record today. That's what they do down here.
That's nice.
Everybody's real helpful.
Look how handsome you are. Sean, let's just drink him in for a second.
I've been drinking for years.
Even on a hostage video lighting setup, he looks just, what's going on down there?
I have free refills with looking at Will. I just fill up every time.
Right? Just pour them over you. Yeah. Will, are you sick?
No, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
No. I think
a real sharp jawline.
I know.
Yeah.
Don't cut yourself.
I'm just down here, and I kind of say again, everybody's super nice. Remember last time I was here, I was dealing with a lot of issues at a certain department store with the glory hole.
Yes,
I remember that.
You do remember that, certainly.
I'll never forget.
Do you not?
Why would I not remember a glory hole story?
This year we're dealing with the same guy who told us about that is telling us about this this app, which is that he's on to meet people.
Sure.
And now it's not even like a Tinder thing where like it's just like face comes up and it's or Grindr where it's just other guys. It's just action shots. So he showed us a photo he got from a guy, and it's just his naked rear end, and his garbage hanging and all from behind, and then he said,
he's bulldogging him.
Yeah, and then he just said, "Howdy."
This is an app he pays for?
Yes, I don't know. I couldn't believe
it. Which one's for the fellas? Is that the Tinder or the Grindr?
Grindr. And so this is a much more aggressive. This is just down to business. This is just like, here's what you're looking at. You're gonna
cut to the chase.
So it's a step above Grindr. It's a different name.
Oh yeah, I don't even know what it is, and it's just I do it, you know.
Look, I think that is, look, I get it. It's like, cut to the chase. Why the small talk? Are we going to do it or not?
Yeah, it's just like, this is what I got going on right now. Where are you at?
This is what you're going to be dealing with? Are you in or are you out? Because I got to move on.
And that's the girls, like, the girls don't get that. The girls need to be talked to and, like, emotional, and then that turns them on. But the guy-on-guy thing is just like, look, I know what I want. I know what I like. Let's just do it or not do it.
Sure. Huh.
Right?
Sure.
Boy.
Right?
And he says, howdy. Right,
but by the way, just
that's the funniest
super
part.
Revealing. And then howdy.
Now, Will, did he tell you about this, or did you ask for visual proof?
No, he was excited. This is my buddy, he's like, wait till you see what I got going on this year. You're not gonna be able to believe it. I'm like, okay,
this year.
And then he shows me that, and I'm like, oh my god, it was so you know,
yeah.
But
just there it is.
God, it's so funny, though. It's so funny.
Sean, is your life as exciting currently?
Any toppers?
Yes, yeah. I do. I think we all have something interesting to talk about, which is our docuseries on Max.
Yes.
Right, coming out.
SmartLess on the Road.
Yeah.
SmartLess on the Road. It's a 6-part documentary series on Max. I mean, what's the date?
If so, the 23rd?
May 23rd.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's called SmartLess on the Road.
And it's just basically us three idiots. Yeah, we're traveling around because we took this show on the road to a bunch of different theaters around the country, and it's us traveling and living in the same hotel room and eating and.
I mean,
flying
if you thought you were bored with us before,
this will put you right out.
Yeah, this is guaranteed. when you see us flying.
Some people use white noise to sleep.
It's not. There is actual. I think we have some shots, Jay, of you eating, which I think fans will be fascinated.
Those are fun.
By.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's rare. It's like sighting Yeti. You know.
Yeah. It is. Yep. And there's a lot of talking about eating.
Yeah.
We've got plenty of shots of you guys eating. I mean, yeah. Good Lord. I mean,
and then cold. It was all cold.
You used to like, Jason ended up being the default ordering room service guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I noticed one thing, and I didn't want to bring it up, but often I would notice when you were placing the order, you had full bone. Just ordering food.
The forbidden fruit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's his body responding, getting so excited about getting food inside of it.
Yeah. So it is, we like the show, but you know, we're biased. But we hope you do too.
May 23rd on Max. It's us. It's just this, right?
Yeah. You get to see us instead of just hear us.
Yeah. So we do these interviews on stage, great guests. But then it's also all the travel in between the spots. So check it out. That's on Max. It's called Smartless on the Road.
Yes. And Sean, speaking of doing the show and being on the road, didn't somebody recently just call you? Didn't somebody mistake you for Jason?
Oh, that's right.
I just texted you guys an hour ago.
That's right.
I was walking on Broadway and some guy goes, "Hey, it's Jason from Smartless." And I just smiled and I said, "Super gay." I go, "Hi."
And then you pushed your stomach out. Right? Is that what you told me?
I unzipped my zipper and I stuck my fat stomach out. I said, "Ozark, Ozark." That's all I did. Right down Broadway. But isn't that funny? I'm like, what? I don't look anything like you.
Watch Ozark, girl.
Hey, girl.
I just did. You know what I was doing this morning? I was talking to a New York Times journalist about you, Sean. He's doing this some sort of a profile on you. And so, listener, you know, when a journalist does profile on a famous friend, you know, they'll usually call you to get a little background.
Oh, wait, is that why they called you?
Yeah. So he was asking me to kind of fill in some of the blanks. And no, it's cool. I was really well compensated for it. And it was, you know what I discovered, Sean? I had nothing planned to say. I found that it was very easy to say nice things about
you. Oh, that's really sweet.
Usually
likewise.
You have to kind of dig for some flowery verse about a friend, and it just all fell out.
They called and they said, "Would you be willing to say something for this piece about Sean?" And I said, "No, thank you."
Yeah. Yeah, because what did mom tell you? If you don't have something nice
to say. Yeah.
Do you know that Betty Davis thing from David Letterman? Did I tell you guys that?
No.
No.
So I'm not going to get this right, but it's something like this. Betty Davis, like a year before she died, was on David Letterman, and David goes, "So what was it like working with Joan Crawford?" And she and the audience laughed because they knew he was kind of prying her, poking at her. And she goes, "David, my mother always said to say something good about the dead. Joan Crawford's dead? Good."
Wow.
That's very well done.
That's pretty great.
Isn't that funny? Yeah,
I'll
they
borrow
knew
that. Great. I'll take that. Guys, can we segue while we're talking about legends?
Sure.
Sure. Oh, my God. Yeah. Good segue.
Let's segue now. You know, we've got a fella today. That we could learn a thing or two from. Mm. Hopefully he'll give us some pointers on career longevity, creative relevance, reinvention, and overall swagger. He's in the music side of showbiz and has been one of the more recognized names around the world for as long as our parents have been alive. He has over 900 songs to his credit, recorded over 130 albums worldwide. His LP and single sales collectively number more than 90 million.
What?
And he is the only artist in history to have a song in the Billboard Top 100 during 7 consecutive decades. He's a legend.
Wait a minute.
He's a friend. And most importantly, be cool, because he's my father-in-law.
Yes, I
know. Oh, my God. No way.
Dad.
No way. Hello,
Dad.
Can
I talk and get rid of the cardboard?
You can talk and get rid of the cardboard.
Okay.
There
hi, guys.
He is.
Oh, look at Mr. Polenka.
Guys.
Wow.
Hi, Pops.
Hello, guys. I guess this is the end of the Canadian quota, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, speaking of which, during my incredible research, do you know Will? He's got a day named after him in Canada. There's Paul Anka Day in Canada.
I'm not
what
surprised.
What do you have?
I'm
what,
nothing.
Tell me, what, do you have an hour I'm nothing. Or anything?
There are a few tiers. Paul is like a few tiers above me in the sort of the Canadian hierarchy when it comes to legends. I have a long way to go. I have nothing named. I'm not surprised. Paul, what? I can't believe, first of all, I can't believe that Jason and I have been friends for so long and this is the first time we've met.
Is that true?
I know. I've never met you
well,
either.
Well, we could say that God. About a lot of people.
I know.
Paul, listen, Paul's a hard guy to nail down. He's always moving. He's always on the road. Where are you now? I'll bet you're not in L.A.
I'm in Florida. I'm doing a See? Tour. I just finished the Hard Rock Casino.
See?
Finished Palm Beach, and I'm on my way to Naples on the completion of this wonderful event for me.
What do you do about you still do about 30 weeks a year? Something like that?
I do about 70 days. Yeah, that's all I want to do. Yeah.
And you've welcomed the 80s now, uh-huh. right? I mean, and you still, Will, you're not going to be moving. At
I
that
know.
Age, at
I
all.
Know. Yeah, it's so sure. impressive. And again, Paul, it should be noted that I like your son-in-law. I love your daughter, Amanda.
Singing to the choir, Will. Singing to the choir.
Yeah, I know. And I talk to her probably more than I talk to JB, thankfully.
It's not probably. That's a definite.
That's a definite. And she talks so glowingly about how much, first of all, through her life, but all like when she was little, yeah. but even now, how insanely busy you are and I'm going to say industrious, but you never stop moving.
Yeah,
what is the secret to doing it for so long, to being able to have that kind of motor, I guess?
Well, if you stop moving, will they throw dirt on you?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one,
that's
right?
A good one. And that's going to be our new logo.
I learned that from the age 16. Mm. And as long as you've got a passion for what you're doing, and when you started the way that I did out of Canada, hey, as long as the dream's alive, the passion and the energy, you keep doing it. You know, unfortunately, you stop like I've seen many of my buddies do, and you see a lot of TV, read a lot of books, and die. So yeah. I love what I'm doing. I'm constantly changing. I'm in the middle now of doing my documentary. We've got a Broadway show that we're doing, some with writers, and it's just something that I love to do, man. You know, when you leave Canada and you make it, you're really grateful because nothing was happening up there other than moose jerky when I left, you know.
Moose jerky. Hey, is that a thing?
You guys don't know. You know, you guys, I respect all of you, obviously, but when I did start, there was no opportunity, you know. And I get lucky as a kid. I leave Ottawa, you know, what, 150,000 people at that time? Yeah. And I hit, and the luck's been continuing since then. And I said, I'm not going to lose this. And then you go through the Rat Pack in Vegas and the Mafia, and you learn what to do, what not to do. And then you say to yourself, you'd be an ass to really give this up. So that's pretty much been the motivation, you know?
Yeah.
First of all, so I want to get into this. You come out of Ottawa, or as I used to refer to it, the town that Fun forgot.
Yeah.
And so.
And it's never seen since.
And I just, to all our fans in Ottawa, I only say that as a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. It's a joke, so relax. Yeah. You know, hold back your comments. But but you come out of Ottawa, as we know, these guys don't know, the nation's capital in Canada, but a small town. And you were, but you didn't do this, Paul, when you were 25.
No, he had before the age of 18, he had five top 20 hits.
Before what?
This
before 18?
This is the thing.
Before 18.
Before 18. This is what blows me away, Paul. Talk to us about how as a young guy, you had all this success. It blows my mind. When I first read that years ago, I couldn't believe it.
Well, you're 14, you're 15, you're in school, you're in grade 10 for 2 years, so you get the hint.
Wait a second. You repeated 10th grade?
Yeah, twice.
Oh,
so I'm in a class with a bunch of girls with my friend Tommy, who his family were the big ski champs. And we wanted the quickest way out, so we took typing and shorthand. I got thrown out of a shorthand class and took music. So now I get interested in music. And one day I start writing poetry, and I win awards for my my writing. I get thrown into a music class. I take piano lessons. And I start becoming this real big fan of, you know, all the rhythm and blues stuff. The black music experience, as it is now, drove everything back then, as it did way back to the 30s.
Yeah.
So I get hooked on music, and I just start writing away. Now, I'm playing hockey like all of us attempted to do. I got tired of ducking because I was very short. I played goalie. So I said, it's not in my future. And in my day, you know, those guys didn't wear helmets. They didn't wear masks, and there was no glass around the rink. So you can imagine how dangerous it was. So I said, it won't be hockey, so I'm going to just write songs. So I start writing songs. So I'm hooked. I'm loving the music. I had a paper route, and then I got a job at IGA Food Stores because I heard if you won the contest, you'd get to go to New York where all the music was. Because the music business was in its infancy stage back there. There were not a lot
of
labels.
What year-ish are
we? This is 1955.
Okay.
So I win the award for collecting soup wrappers for Campbell's Soup. And me and 40 kids from across Canada are put on a train with soggy sandwiches. And 15 hours later, I'm at the YMCA in New York. I said, man,
oh my God.
This is it. I'm coming back. So I go back home, and I said to my dad, look, give me some money. I had some saved up from my paper route. I'm going back to New York. I've got a connection to see a record company. Yeah. And I go down, I walk into ABC Paramount Records, which had ABC TV Network just starting out. I sing for Don Costa. He was the A&R guy. And like all of us guys, you know, success has a lot of fathers. And he was the guy that made it happen. He said, where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. I told him, he said, bring your parents down here. We want to sign you. You're too young. So I fly my parents down. They sign a contract. And May of that year, I'm in a record studio doing Diana, two other songs.
That was a song you wrote for the gal that didn't want to hear it, right?
Yeah. That was it. And then 2-3 months later, American Bandstand started. I'm on there in the Ed Sullivan Show, and that was it. It took off from there, and my life changed.
Wait, you did the Ed Sullivan Show?
I mean—
Yes.
Yeah? What was that like? How was that?
Scared to death. Oh,
yeah, because that was like the biggest show then.
Well, that was it. You know, television back then was three channels. Color TV, right. My dad would bring out a piece of plastic with a blue sky, red in the middle and green on the bottom, and he'd tape it to the TV, and that was color television.
Come on.
And in Ottawa, it didn't start till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and there was like news, a cooking show, and maybe wrestling once a week. I mean, it was...
And millions and millions and millions of people watching because there were no other choices.
Amazing.
Well, it was all radio before that. I used to sit in Ottawa next to a radio and listen to everything until television came. God, am I aging myself?
Could you imagine asking our kids to sit in front of a big box that has sound coming out of it and entertain yourself for a few hours just listening to it?
No, they'd
look at us like we're nuts.
No, obviously not now. But you know, that's all that there was, right?
I mean, right.
At the time. So, like, it felt like I got to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I grew up, I was born in 70, so it's not. But I do remember as a kid on my clock radio, I was just talking about it with my buddy Eli. I used to be able to get what was the station out of Buffalo, and I could get Sabres games.
The Hound Dog, yes. I know the station.
And yeah, and I could get them on my, so I could, when I was told to go to bed, I could still hear the Buffalo. Because I could, as a Canadian, mm-hmm. Paul, you know this. When you get that radio signal out of the States, it feels like a whole other world. You can't believe it, right?
Everything came at you. There was nothing to watch. I mean, it was just so boring. There was nothing going on. I was listening to Fats Domino and everybody else.
All right, so Diana, wow. So Diana gets you signed. That takes off a bit, and then how that was your first number one hit. And you're 14, 15?
First number one hit, yeah.
Okay,
God,
and then what were the other four that were the five top 20s before you were 18?
So at 15, you got Diana. Then my dad wanted me home, and then a promoter called up, and my second was You Are My Destiny, but my dad wanted me to finish school, and I talked the promoter into let me live with him. He had a bunch of drugstores, Izzy and Irving Feld. So with You Are My Destiny, I move in with them down in Washington. Then I had, there was Lonely Boy, Puppy Love, I Love You Baby. There was a string of hits.
Really quick, Paul. The guy, I'm doing a play here in New York, and the guy who wrote it, Doug Wright, and my other actress friend, Deb Monk, wrote a song called Puppy Love, Doggy Style.
Mm. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really I love funny. That.
Paul, we'll see them in court.
Let's get your attorneys.
I offered it to Frank Sinatra. When I started working for the mob in Vegas, he wanted me to write for him. And I said, well, I can give you Puppy Love. We'll change it to Love is a Bitch. You know, I was thrown into that world because I worked for the guys. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, they fantasize of what it was about, but it was real. They controlled everything.
Talk a little bit about how that happened. How did you end up? So, well, first of all, you wrote... Talk about, you know, you wrote a very popular song, one of the great songs of all time, for Frank Sinatra. Right?
My Way, yes. Well, Well, that came later. You know what happened?
Oh, wait, you wrote My Way?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
That's crazy.
wait, you have me thinking about that.
Yeah. Okay. So,
no, I didn't know that.
Well, so let's go back before we get into My Way, then. Let's go back into how you start working with those guys and working with the mob.
Well, I'm making lots of money and I've got lots of hits.
Sure.
And everywhere that I had to play, the mob ran everything. They ran all the clubs, all the distributors, labels, all the
restaurants. Were you the youngest to play Copacabana?
Well, I became, with those hits, I became the youngest to work this mob place called the Copa, which was huge.
Yeah.
And I started working it as the youngest kid, and I must have done weeks there, and there was kids around the block, blah, blah.
What are you, 17, 18, 19?
I was about 19 years old. Well, I was in Vegas first. I played Vegas at 18 with Sophie Tucker, and then America's Favorite Group. And from there, I went to the Copacabana in New York, and I started there very, very young, and I had a bunch of hits going into that, and then the bosses said, would you like to go work Vegas with the Rat Pack?
Now, you know that these guys are in the mob at this point.
You totally know who you're working for. You're told to behave yourself.
Wow.
These are the guys, and when you see them, blah, blah. I mean, there's this real strict education as to behavior, what to wear, how to act. Me, Bobby, Darren, Frankie Avalon. So we knew who we were working for. When the word came out, go to Vegas, I fly out there, spent a lot of time there, you know, saw Sinatra, Marilyn Monroe, that whole thing. And I start working for the boys and with the Rat Pack at the Sands Hotel.
What year is this?
That's 1961, 62, somewhere in there.
You're too young to gamble.
Couldn't go in the building. I had to look through the windows until I was old enough at 21. Could not go in.
You didn't have a fake ID or something like that to get in there?
He's famous. He's Paul Anka at this point.
Oh, right.
Those guys knew everything. They knew everything of who was in there. Who was allowed in, who wasn't.
I would have died so quickly if I was part of the mob. Because I always thought, like, it'd be so cool. Like, oh, these guys are like, I don't know, there's something glamorous about that life.
Yeah.
That I think everybody would.
You would have been like that annoying dog in the cartoons that just runs circles around the big dog. Where are we going? And they would have stepped on
Sean,
you in a trash.
Hey, what are you guys talking about now?
You meeting the mob would immediately be, like, the scene would be you meeting them and immediately, like, all those guys doing one of those funny scenes about how they're going to bury you, where they're going to bury you. You know what I mean? Who's got to get rid of your stupid body?
And we knew. Listen, you know, it was such a small community. You knew when somebody got smoked.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know when a game was
rigged. Were you ever scared about that?
No, ever. I'm scared going there now. Yeah. I'm scared going to Vegas now with what's there. I mean, believe me, you can't trust anything that's going on there now, from the streets to your room.
Really?
And we will be right back.
We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work, so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts. Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet, it's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it, first of all. An absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
And now back to the show.
What would be the main thing that you would have to watch out to not do when you're conversing with the mob? What would get you in trouble?
Well, respect was everything. Yeah. Okay, what you said was everything. Respect was everything. You never wanted to get out of line or do anything in destroying a room, trying to do something that was out of line. Yeah. You got to remember, all these guys were older than I was. The Rat Pack were older. Carl Cohen was my rabbi. And Carl Cohen was the guy out of Cleveland. He was the sweetest guy ever. And he watched over me. You know, those were the guys.
And were they like father figures and brothers type? Yeah.
Totally, totally. Yeah. I mean, Carl Cohen, he was the guy, I'm going to jump ahead, that knocked the teeth out of Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow.
I was there that
night. This is a rabbi. Rabbi lit up Sinatra.
This was Carl Cohen. Uh-huh. And he was the nicest salt of the earth type of guy. And every time I needed something or I had a problem, I would go to Carl Cohen and he would watch over me because I was this kid, but I was making money for them. It was very freaky for them because they were used to Sinatra, Dean Martin, and Sammy Davis. And all of a sudden this kid is wandering around doing business, singing these cockamamie songs. You know, they're doing Cole Porter and I'm going, I'm so young and you're so old.
Right. So then the Rat Pack, they're what? They're in their mid-30s, 40s? You're hitting 20?
Yeah, I would say close to 40s, absolutely.
And were they welcoming to you? How long did it take for them to kind of bring you under their wing and kind of show you the ropes a little bit?
Right away. You see, they all had a vested interest in whatever sense. And anybody that made money for them, you know, they had the swagger. Those were the guys. Sinatra made Las Vegas, all those guys. Everybody showed up only because of him and then the gambling. So when I hit the scene and I'm making money for the mob, the word is out, be nice to the kid. That was my nickname, the kid. And we'd all hang out in the steam room, this little steam room in the back of the hotel. On the back of our robes, we had our nicknames. You know, Sammy was Smokey the Bear. Dean was Dino. My name was
the bear in the steam.
And they embraced me right away. Right away.
Very nice.
And I just watched and learned. They were amazing. That education that I got at those early years, you couldn't get today. There was no technology, no tricks. It was all real stuff. And those guys were the real deal. It was fun, and professionalism. I learned so much from those guys.
Then how did, not to jump too far ahead, but then how did My Way come around for you to deliver to Sinatra?
Well, you know, for years in there, he'd always tease me about writing for him. Now, I'm still young. I'm scared to death. I'm intimidated.
Yeah.
And I figure if I'm ever going to write something, it better be good because that'll be my one shot. But I'm in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I moved to Italy and I'm living over there because the Beatles hit, which I'll tell you that later, how I got them over here. And I come back and I'm still working. And in the late 60s, we're down in Florida at the Fontainebleau Hotel. And that was the hang place for all of us and all the mob guys, the Fontainebleau, which was the model for Vegas, by the way. Caesar's Palace, Steve Wynn, all those guys learned from the aesthetics of the Fontainebleau Hotel in Miami.
Okay.
That's where that preacher guy, his wife got that pool boy from there. I just watched that documentary about it. It was the Fontainebleau. Unrelated. All right, sorry, Paul.
So, good friend. So the preacher boy, he was also around. I'm covering everybody here today. So I'm at the Fontainebleau.
Wait, go back. What was the foundation of Vegas?
Well, Steve Wynn, who's responsible for the, let's call it the second chapter of Las Vegas, genius of Steve Wynn.
Yeah.
He and the guy at Circus Circus and the mob who lent all the money, the Teamsters Union, they were going to build Caesar's Palace. And I had 5% of Caesar's because my friend Nate Jacobson out of Baltimore came to me who I'd invested with. And he said, blah, 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 we're going to build this hotel. We want you to be a part of it. Well, my people said, you don't want to own anything because the government will be all over you.
Mm.
So they all wanted to build this amazing hotel, Caesar's Palace. How are we going to build it? What's it going to look like? The model, the aesthetic model and everything in it was taken from the Fontainebleau Hotel, the inspiration
for that
aesthetic look of Caesar's, which was the cheapest investment in real estate and the biggest bang of real estate in the country. It only cost them about $18 million, if you can believe
Caesar's?
To build it, yeah. Wow. So anyway, so there I am in Florida. Sinatra's having dinner. He invites me to dinner. I think he's running with Mia Farrell at the time. And he told me, he said, you know, I'm quitting show business. I'm tired. Rat Pack's over. I've had enough of this and I'm going to rest. I'm doing one more album with Don Costa. Don Costa, as I mentioned earlier, was my producer. And I introduced him to Sinatra in the 60s. And he did that amazing album, Sinatra and Strings. And he said, I'm quitting, but I'm doing one more album. You never wrote me a song. So I can't believe it. Sinatra quitting. So I go back to New York where I'm living at the time. I'm sitting up at my piano, 12 midnight, thunderstorm outside. I'm saying, Sinatra, retiring. I can't believe it. I sit at my typewriter, paid off from sitting in grade 10 for 2 years. And I'm typing away metaphorically. And now the end is near. So in 5 hours, I finish the song.
That's crazy.
So now I call him up at Caesar's. And I said, sir, I said, I've got the song, blah, blah, blah. He said, bring it out. I fly out to Caesar's Palace, go to his dressing room. I sing him the song. He says, kid, I love it. I'm going to do it. 2 months later, he calls me from a record studio in L.A. Listen to this, kid. And he takes the phone. Wow. He puts it up to a speaker, and I hear My Way for the first time.
How old are you?
25 years old.
I'm getting chills. That's amazing.
So the lyrics were quite literal that you just took. It's like, for me, the end is near and I did it my way. So that came from his telling you he's done.
Exactly. Right. Metaphoric. I wrote it as if
amazing.
He were writing it. In other words, he would never use ate it up and spit it out and stuff like that. But that's very indigenous to Sinatra style.
Right.
That's amazing. That blows my mind in a way quite literally gave me chills. And then the chills were gone when Sid Vicious recorded it years later.
Sid Nancy.
I felt more than chills when I first heard it. Yeah. Scorsese called and they said, we're using this Sid Vicious. I'd never heard the record. I said, is this a prank? He says, no, this is a real guy. So yeah. I heard it. I did some investigating. I said, you know, the guy was sincere. He went to Paris. He was ripping up amps and trying to get the sound. I said, who am I to stand in the way of someone's expression of a song? And I granted the license.
That was so crazy. Sean, Jason, you know about that, right? The Sid Vicious from the Sex Pistols recorded My Way?
Yeah.
That's so crazy.
And speaking of Scorsese, I don't know if you guys know this, but I wonder if our listener does. That opening shot in Goodfellas, steadicam shot through the kitchen and all this other stuff. That was a shot Scorsese came up with as a result of watching a documentary about Paul, where a handheld camera followed him all the way through a kitchen, right, and then up onto stage.
Yes,
Paul, is that right?
I produced a film with the National Film Board. You guys know how important their work is. Mm-hmm. And they came to me in the early 60s, want to do this documentary, first time ever on a pop artist, blah, blah, blah. I said, let's do it. So we did it, and we won a lot of awards, the Venice Award, New York Critic Awards, and it became this really acclaimed piece of verite on a pop artist. And Scorsese used it, the Beatles used it, in terms of the application and how it was directed, et cetera. And that shot was taken from the Copacabana.
I used to do scene study with this guy, Vito Anaformo, the former boxer, and he's in that shot at the very end when Ray Liotta comes in, and Ray Liotta says hey to him, and he says, hey.
Hey, Vito.
Anyway, he used to be my scene study partner years ago.
I want to know something. I want to know, Jason and Paul, at what point, Jason, after you met your gorgeous, amazing, wonderful, incredible wife, Amanda, did you go, oh my God, your dad is Paul Anka, and then you're thinking, oh my God, my father-in-law is Paul Anka.
And I'll never live up to,
And then at what point did it go away where you're just like, okay, I can't stay in this frame of mind anymore. And I'm just like, that's my dad. That's my dad-in-law.
I knew because I knew her name when I met her, when she introduced herself. Yeah. I was like, I don't remember if I even asked if she was related. I think I just assumed. And so I was, I thought, well, if this goes a couple of more dates, I might get to meet this guy, and I'll be nervous about that. And then I think, Paul, was the first time we met at the Plaza Athenae in New York? I
feel like it might first, be. And then you hung at the house up in Mulholland.
Wow. Yeah.
Jason remembers that, but no vacation with his friend Sean. Go ahead, Jay.
No.
With his French what?
He doesn't remember the glory holes either from us.
He put me to ease very, very quickly. He's obviously very used to being famous and having people be intimidated when they meet him. And so he's got that down where he just disarms any kind of armed situation you might create.
Paul, I mean, you and the way that you talk about these incredible, iconic, not just people but moments in time and eras that you inhabited. You weren't just an observer; you were part of. You alluded to the fact that you were in Europe with because of the Beatles, or they were big at the time. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm writing away, but I'm realizing, while I'm in the business, all I kept hearing is, this may not last. Mm-hmm. They come and they go. They come and they go. And I'm saying, they may not last. Okay. I might be back sucking on that moose jerky in Canada in 2 years. So now I said, I got to start writing songs for other people. Because I was a writer. I wasn't sold as they groomed me up to look cute, but I was not a good-looking guy.
But your voice is undeniable.
Well, at least we had the voice going for us.
Yeah.
So I'm singing away, and I started writing for other people. I wrote Buddy Holly's last hit, It Doesn't Matter Anymore. And, we lost him on one of our tours in the plane crash. And it started there. And then I'm writing for Connie Francis. Then I go to Europe, and I'm asked to be in a movie called The Longest Day for Daryl F. Zanuck, classic war film. I'm in the film, and look, I'm not an actor, but I'm in the film, and I say to Zanuck, hey, I'm a writer. I'm telling everybody. I'm a writer. You need a song? I mean, open the fridge. The light went on. I'll write for you. So now with Zanuck, I go home. I'm inspired. I write The Longest Day for the film.
Yeah.
Then I meet a guy called Johnny Carson. He's starting this TV show for a year. I said, but I want a new song. I write the Tonight Show theme.
You're joking me.
Did you not know
Wait
that, Sean?
Wait a minute. You're joking me.
Yeah,
no, that is crazy.
I wish I wanted to put Amanda through school until Jason took over.
It's the most recognized TV theme song in history. It's been performed 1,400,000 times.
You wrote that song.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, writing is one thing, but getting it out there, I got thrown off from Mitch. Skitch Henderson was a part of the show, and when Johnny came in, who was new, and I'd given him a job on my TV show, Johnny.
Wow.
Skitch Henderson said, I don't want some kid taking over here. We're not using the song. And when Johnny called me and said, you know, I'm sorry, I love it, but I can't use it because Skitch has been here, blah, blah, blah.
Goddamn Skitch.
He said, yeah, Skitch the switch artist. So I said to Johnny, I said, look, I'll give you half the song, half the publishing, half the writing, and if anything happens, you're going to earn half of everything with me.
Wow.
So a day goes by, and he calls up with his manager and says, you got it. Now, they don't know it's going to be on, what, 30 years?
Yeah. Right. Figured, right.
Either did I.
Uh-huh.
So he says, the song is back on. Da, da, da,
yeah,
da,
da, da, da.
And every night we listened to it for, what, 30 years?
Unbelievable.
And I gave half the song away, but I had nothing anyway. So.
Well, you had half of something instead of 100%
of
nothing.
And Skitch went on to be Sean's haircutter, right? Sean is not the guy who does your hair? What's his name?
Skitcho.
Skevo.
Skitcho. Oh, Skevo. Sorry.
So then I go to Europe. I go to Europe, and I had a whole career in Europe. I went to Japan when I was, you know, what,
yeah, what's
18?
This? You lived in Italy, you just said.
Yeah, I lived in Italy.
I didn't know that.
Everything, well, when the Beatles hit, you know, let me go to that. I'm working the Olympia Theater, and I'm really loving the culture, and I'm loving Europe, and I'm touring all over the place from Japan to Europe. And I go to see a friend of mine at the Olympia. And on the underbill from my friend, it says, The Beatles.
I go, watch your mic, Paul. You're hitting the mic with your hand.
I says, The Beatles, The Beatles, So I'm sitting there watching the show, and the guy, ladies and gentlemen, here's the Beatles. And these guys come on, and they're doing these cover songs. And I'm looking at these guys, shirts, ties, long hair, and they're singing away. And as a musician, I'm going, God, there's something here. So I go backstage, and I meet them, and they're talking to me, and, oh, we love what you're doing. And so they're saying, we want to do what you're doing. We want to publish and write and produce the music, blah, blah. And I strike it up with these Beatles. And then I go to London, and I think they started with a hit. And I'm having drinks with them over there, and we're talking and rapping. And I come home to New York, where I'm living, and I go to Normie Weiss and Sid Bernstein, who are my agents. I said, there's these guys in England called the Beatles. You got to sign them. Now, you have to remember, we're not in a media-driven society.
Right.
Pop music is still in its infancy stage.
Right.
Nobody had any idea what was going on in Europe. And I'm pounding these guys to go get them.
Like rock and roll just started, right?
Just started, infancy stage. So long and short, they go over and they sign the Beatles and bring them over in, what, 64 on Ed Sullivan?
Yeah.
And that was the start of it all.
Wow.
So they bring them over.
That's amazing.
You know the story there. I leave and I go to RCA Victor Records, who built this huge sound stage in Rome. And they introduced me to one of the most amazing genius musicians I've ever met called Ennio Morricone.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
You guys must know that name.
Yeah,
so
of course.
He knew films better than the directors, and he was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He starts my career in Italy, and I'm singing and living in Italy. Ogni volta che torno, non vorrei, non vorrei. And I'm outselling the Italians, just in Italian.
Wow.
So I'm
living
there, and I'm having a career in Italy with Ennio Morricone.
Who are you?
And
I mean, like, have you ever...
The answer is probably yes. What is it? Have I what? Throw it at me.
I was going to say, did you ever write a song for the Beatles?
No. They did their own thing. I wish I had.
Yeah. Do you know Italian?
Yeah, sure.
You can speak Italian. What else can you do? What are the languages you
speak? I recorded in Spanish, recorded in Japanese. I lived in Germany and Weißwurstnudel, Sauerkraut und Reiserbier. Had a career in German in Germany. Jo, wo gibst denn das? I get up in the morning at 9 with this strict German woman, Sigrid Folkman. Now, Paul, you will put it in your tongue, in the front. Weißt der, no, in the tongue. I hadn't even had breakfast yet, and I'm worried about my tongue. And I sat with her 5 days a week learning German. And I loved it over there. It's a great country. Very cool country.
It's beautiful.
That's how I met Scotty, by the way. Anyway, so
what, with your tongue?
I want to know about...
I thought you were going to go back to embracing the bear in the steam room.
I want to stick with the tongue.
Wait, Love Never Felt So Good, that song. I don't know if
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. And then Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Re-recorded
and Drake,
it. With,
and yeah, talk to us about the collaborations, the duets with some of these folks. Is that something that you'd love to do?
I started... Somewhere in there, I said, I got to meet some other people and write with them because I love the experience. Anyway, I start with, Michael McDonald, Burt Bacharach, a bunch of talented people, good friends. May Burt rest in peace. And this guy, a publicist, kept bringing Michael Jackson around. I knew the family from Caesars. Joe would bring him in. They watched Sinatra and me, Dean Martin. And I saw this family grow up. So he said, Michael's starting over at Sony, and he wants to write and be on your Sony album. And I'd already had everybody slotted in the album, and I had two slots open. And I'm living in Carmel at the time. And Michael flies up with this guy, and we start writing together. And you knew right away, with a guy like Michael, how talented he was. Now, unlike everyone else, he didn't play an instrument. It was all in the head. It was all these noises. It was like working with a bird. And I knew, but the way that this guy had it down, he knew what he wanted and he knew what he was about. So we sit
Paul, you sound just like him.
Yeah, thank you very much. I do 20 minutes of that in my act every night. So we start writing. In the middle of the process, which is interesting, his record, Thriller, or whatever the first one was, starts to take off.
Off the wall.
And Michael goes into second gear of Michael. Really into his career, really into being very professional. But he steals the tapes out of the studio in Los Angeles, and I couldn't complete the songs with him because he had taken the tapes. Something happened to your face, Jason. I think you're growing an appendage.
I grew a second face.
Oh, look, my God.
There's your second eldest.
There's your daughter, Amanda.
Oh, my God, Daddy, you're tanner than Will.
Hey, oh, my God.
First of all, Amanda.
Here she comes. Here she comes.
No, health notes. I'm just saying, I love you all. You're very tan. You look very cute.
Amanda, don't go anywhere yet. I can't believe this is the first time meeting your dad. I love your dad. I now know why you've been keeping me away, keeping us away from him. We love your dad.
Sean didn't know about the Tonight Show.
I know. He came to a father-daughter dinner up at our Sundays, and it took the house down.
Yeah.
So we need to invite him back.
Yes.
He's a big hit everywhere he goes.
By the way, I love you all. Willie and Sean, I'm crushed that you're away.
I know.
We love you. I can't wait. We're going to see you very soon, but I miss you too.
I'm so excited. Daddy, I miss you. I love you.
I'll see you at the party, remember, next week.
Yes, at your party.
You're coming to dinner.
That's right. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I love you guys.
Bye. I love you too.
Bye, Amanda.
Paul, will you be my dad? Okay, so wait. I want to get back to Michael Jackson. The tapes. Michael Jackson took the tapes or something?
He stole the tapes from the studio, and they called me. I mean, I hate being negative because he's a talented guy. In the 80s, Sunset Sound, they called me up and said, Mr. Anka, Michael came and took your tapes. Now, I've got the tapes are gone. I can't finish.
But the tapes of what? Of songs that you're working on with him or songs
three
that
songs,
he recorded?
Three songs that we wrote together.
Okay, got
Here's
it.
I'll to give you the payoff in a second. Oh. So I've got all of these songs, the three songs. My tapes are gone, and now I'm in Lawyerville. And I'm not litigious. I think the worst thing you can do in life takes the eye off the ball is get into litigation, if you can avoid it. Anyway,
yeah.
Tapes are gone. I'll leave a hunk out. The lawyers decide to convince him, give him back the tapes. So he gives me back the tapes, but he's gone. I can't finish the project. Now, this is the 80s. The years go by. And what happens when he comes back on the This Is It tour? I get a call from Harvey over TMZ. He said, Paul, there's a Michael Jackson record out called This Is It, and we think you wrote it. And it's his tour. It's the name of the show, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, the documentary that he was shooting when he passed away. Yeah.
I said, well, Harvey, let me do some homework. So I get a hold of the record. And what happened was the original title was called I Never Heard. This was called This Is It. When I hear the record, the first line is, this is it. Here I stand. They took the first lyric, turned it into the tour title. And indeed, it was the song that we wrote together. Well, now the shit hits the fan.
This is only like this is in 2000. This wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now we get the same lawyers on the phone again, and there's a big conference call. Blah, 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 blah. What are you doing? It's our song. Did you? Oh, you know, lawyers. Oh, we didn't know, blah, blah. I said, look, let's make it real simple. You're stuck. Your tour is named. You got a record coming out in a week. We'll make this very sweet. I want half of everything or you're not going to put it out. Well, we got everything. So
nice.
Then, wow. After This Is It came out, I got a call from the guy that was running Epic Records, L.A. Reid. He said, did you write a song called Love Never Felt So Good with Michael? I said, yes. He says, well, it's coming out with Timberlake and Michael. I said, well, what did you do? He says, we found these tapes in his drawer. We thought they were his, and we've made a record out of it. I said, well,
great.
It's going to be half of everything.
Let me give you an address.
Yeah. Well, thanks for doing the heavy lifting. Let me give you.
Yeah. That song is fantastic.
Thank you. It's such a good song.
So
it comes out. There's that. And then I get a call. Drake, did you write a song? Yes. So he comes over to the house. Nice guy. Talented. Toronto boy, as you know.
Yeah, Toronto guy.
And he said, look, what do we do with this? I said, look, I don't know anything about your world. Culturally, I can't write what you do. But if you want to take this and break the code and put your magic on it and let me hear it, you can put it out. He takes it, what I'd written and what was there with Michael, and he turned it into It Don't Matter to Me, and that was the third record.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Unreal.
So
crazy stories, huh?
Yeah.
Incredible.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Smartless listener. We get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell you, of all guests we've had on Smartless, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star.
Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps.
And now, back to the show.
So, you know, you put your head on my shoulder. I mean, puppy love, you're having my baby, my way, all this stuff. Every time I think about all the really recognizable songs that you have that you have done, I keep thinking about. I'm gonna ask you about this again, and you, I would like your take on it, guys. I want him to remember the three tenors. Remember I want him to do with the three crooners because each you can you got yeah, let's workshop idea. It and find the other two folks. But you've got enough. You've got enough to fill your section of it. In spades. I mean you're
Paul,
just
again,
playing your hits.
You could tour. You could do Vegas, as you know. You could do on Broadway. It would be an absolute smash.
Yeah. Who are the other two that would do it with you?
Yeah.
Well, that's the big question. Who are the other twos that leave their ego at the door?
You tell us. You know these guys. You know these players.
Well, you just said something really important before you answered that, which is check your ego. And I love hearing you talk because you have been around and seen it all. And I can tell that you don't have time for the bullshit. You don't have that ego in that way. Mm-hmm. I love that. There's an authenticity to it that is so refreshing because we don't have enough. And by the way, I was thinking you were talking about the mob before. I mean, you're in the talent mafia. You have been doing it and you have been working with and collaborating with people for so freaking long. There's no reason you can't do this now. It would be a crime if you didn't do it.
Well, if you've got time. I mean, you're doing your Broadway show, you're working on the documentary, you're probably writing another book and you're touring.
Well, I'm touring and I leave for Asia in May. We're booked right up until next January. You know, the problem is this. You have to have a business mind and an artistic mind in this business. You really do. You got to watch your stuff. And every time I've addressed it, you've got managers in the way, you've got agents in the way, and you've got some artists who are very talented, but that's it. There's no business acumen, and there's threats. They don't want to get on stage with certain performers. They don't want to go through it. They don't get it. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. You know who gets it? The country acts get it. Yeah. The rap artists get it. Mm-hmm. But there's not many in my milieu that I could really say to you, look, I'd love to bring Julio Iglesias out of retirement or whatever he's doing, okay? Because the Hispanic base in our country politically and everything is huge.
Yeah.
If you could get Tom Jones, Tom has been, you know, had some health issues recently, great voice. There's a few people that I think would work, but you can't get past the agents.
Managers. I'll bet you could.
Yeah.
Well, somebody would have to do it. I just don't have any time to press it. You know.
Great. It's a smart list tour.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get it done.
Guys, why don't the three of us sing all the songs?
I'm open.
Oh,
as long as I'm not responsible for any of the.
Sean, you do the singing, and then Jason and I. What do we do? Well, these two talented guys are doing.
Yeah. The furniture around. Do.
We'll make funny faces on the sides.
You put me on your shoulders.
Oh my God.
I mean, just...
Well, we're going to work on it. We're going to come back to you with a proposal on that.
Okay.
It's a great idea.
Now, talk to us about this, how, you know, the stamina, the endurance, the longevity, you still touring like crazy. Literally, how do you do that?
Health.
How? Yeah, but what, how are you able to stay so healthy and have so much... What's the ritual?
Yeah.
Look.
I mean, walk us through your day.
It's so basic. Look, you know, I know what you do. You run, you watch what you eat. You know, Amanda's always been like that.
Yep.
I literally, from hanging around those guys in Vegas with the smoking, with the drinking and all the bullshit, hey, if that's your thing, do it. I couldn't sing if I drank too much.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't function if I did what too much. Yep. If I tried a little of this and that, you're goddamn right. Yep. I made up my mind and made choices. But when I get up in the morning... You know, I have my lemon juice. I eat blueberries. Uh-huh. I have my olive oil with a squeeze of lemon. I don't have a big breakfast. I don't eat white bread. I mean, I can give you a boring list. This body is not a fluke, okay? Yeah. This is it.
So even Paul Anka is quoting Richard Ehrlich.
Is that Richard Ehrlich? Yeah. Was that where I heard it?
This body's no Richard, fluke. The great Richard
How's
Ehrlich.
How's Richard doing?
Tricky Dick is
he's,
good.
He's married, isn't he?
He's
married. Tell Tracy who Richard is.
Richard is one of my best friends and a friend of, all four of us? No,
yeah,
Sean,
sure.
Of course.
Yeah. Richard.
Anyway.
Love him.
Richard is, I love him. By the way, it should be noticed, hi, Diggy. It should be mentioned that Richard is one of the first Smartless super fans when we first heard he was like the first guy to keep texting us and
real
being encouraging. He's such
real
a sweetheart of a guy.
You want to buy a house? Fine.
Yeah, by the way, you want to buy a house in L.A.? Get Richard Ehrlich.
Yeah, he's a guy. See these blueberries, guys? Yep. I eat them every
day. Guys, he's eating blueberries right now.
That's a
superfood.
That's
how he's getting through this interview.
This is a superfood, okay? I love it. And the olive oil, I'm going to do it now, Paul. I'm doing it every day. I'm going to do olive oil.
You put it in a shot glass, and you squeeze a lemon on top of it and drink it. Drink it in the morning. Before you go to bed, you make sure you have ginger.
I'd rather drink a soda and die early.
Listen, Sean, you're not going to make it to Paul's age. You keep having the cornflakes on the tuna fish and the, I mean.
Listen, they're coming up with some stuff from Israel. I read a lot. They've got some stuff now. They're going to turn it all out back. You're going to live to over 100 years old.
Yeah.
You guys. Especially kids that were born after 2000. They'll be living till 125.
Now, what about playing music day to day? Not physically playing music because you're doing that on the stage. But what are you listening to that's keeping you inspired? Do you keep up on new music? Do you have a staple that you listen to that keeps you going? What gets you going?
Yeah, I'm listening to everything eclectically. You know, there's some stuff I'm not interested in. Leave it at that. But I'm listening to stuff from, Bruno Mars. I mean, I listen to Adele. Mm-hmm. There's some rap stuff, Jay-Z. I mean, there's some talented people out there.
Is there anybody that you've always dreamed of writing for or with that you haven't?
Elton John and Sting.
Wow. Yeah.
I think Elton's very talented.
Yeah.
I think Sting is very talented.
Of course,
I think Billy Joel is amazing.
Amazing.
You're never going to discount. You know, when you look at the foundation of those doing the business out there, it's all the guys that are close to 80.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stones are still doing it. I mean, there's a ton of them. There's some good stuff out there that, I listen I listen to opera music when I want to calm down.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of Sinatra. I listen to everything as long as it's good. If it's good, I'm on. I'm down for it.
Paul, for many reasons, I want to be you when I grow up.
I know.
We never grow up, my boy.
Yeah.
We never really grow up. Trust me.
I get that sense. Paul, it's unbelievable. Again, I don't know what Jason, I think he's jealous of you. You've got too much charisma for us. And he knows that we're like, Sean and I are going to be like, we got to get rid of Jason. Paul's going to do the podcast with us.
Yeah.
We'll keep it in the family. If you guys want to recast, that's fine. You just got to keep it in the family.
Slip him in.
I got to tell you, I'm so proud of that guy. I'm not going to lay it on. All of you.
We all are.
All of you representing what you do. I'm a fan, okay? And this guy in front of me, and he's been a hell of a father and with those kids, but beyond that, I'm not even going to get into it because it speaks for itself and I'm not going to embarrass him.
No.
But as proud as he may be of me, that's how proud is Jason, is that your son-in-law? Everywhere I go, they don't even know who the fuck I am. They're taking his guess, right? But they, whatever you're throwing at me, I'm throwing it back to all
three. Well, I was going to say this and I was going to bring that up, which was, I wanted to mention this earlier. When Amanda started dating, because when he said that he didn't know, that he figured that you were Amanda's dad when he first heard her last name. When Jason and Amanda started dating and then got married, and I don't want to embarrass Jason either because Sean and I both love him. I give him a lot of shit, but I love him. And he's he's a brother and more than a friend. And how lucky did you feel that you got to have this guy as your son-in-law and in your life? He's a thoughtful, smart, sweet, great dad. All the shit that you said, times a million, as you know.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. He's a brother from another mother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To all of you guys, because it's, the great thing is, as you guys know, it's all real. You're never going to hear anybody say anything, and I never have. And Jason's been through it, man. He's pulled his life together.
Yeah.
You'll never hear anybody say anything derogatory about Jason Bateman.
We had true. You got it. You had a nice little.
We're
window
still looking
into,
though. It, we're still my, looking. We're trying
I'll
to find
it. Yeah. I'll find it.
Paul had a nice window into my old life, though. Right when I got married to his daughter, he took me and two buddies, Ehrlich was one of them, Dickie, mm-hmm. To Vegas. And he yeah. gave me and Richard and Danny Comden and and one.
The whole Saul Good crew.
Yeah. And we had a he showed us his version of Vegas, mm-hmm. and it was just incredible. And so you got to see lubricated, you know.
and Ehrlich was making deals right down to the end.
Oh, yeah.
What do you mean $30 for a lap dance? Wait, who's this chick over here? I'm going back to the hotel. I'm not paying that.
No, it was would you very, very
Jenny's cool. Jenny's listening to this right now going, Richard said he's never been to a strip bar before. This is crazy.
Paul, we've taken a lot of your time, too much of it. You're yeah. very, very nice to have come on and done this. Thank you for saying
and Paul,
yes.
next time I'm in Los Angeles, I want to have a dinner and keep talking about everything
Let's
in
do
your
a
life.
Dinner. Let's do it. Paul, please. What a thrill.
I'm down.
We're
I'm
doing
down.
That as soon as you get back.
My
Paul.
Mom and dad, my dad who grew up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, has been a fan of yours. You know, he was born in 38, just outside of Winnipeg. And for him, I'm not kidding, as soon as I'm done, I'm going to get off this thing and I'm going to call my dad and say that we had you on, and he's going to be absolutely blown away. He's
that's cool, man. You got a pretty decent hockey team out there, you know?
Yeah, we do. Decent hockey team's right.
That's what
yeah.
we should do. We should go to a hockey game together. Should introduce him to Shanny, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
We should.
Do you know what do you know which team in the NHL makes more money than any other team? You guys are hockey savvy.
Toronto?
But let me see.
Toronto?
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, Toronto Maple Leafs. Yeah.
Got it.
Everybody is way behind. Do you know why Wayne Gretzky never had a curved stick?
Why?
Why is that?
Because he always scored on his backhand, and he never wanted the stick curved.
Yeah,
harder. And I knew Wayne when he was a young little fella. I used to fly him around on the jet. He was scared to death of private planes, so I knew him when.
Wow.
So you know, Paul, I don't know if you heard the episode that we did with President Biden, but what he wanted to do and did do, he was so excited because I guess he did some research, found out that you and I were related. He came in playing one of your songs on his phone as one of his go-to songs that he's got on his phone all the time.
Personal cell phone.
That was funny. Yeah. I thought you were putting me on.
Yeah.
Nobody handed it to him. He got it on his own phone. He walks in playing that. Jason blushed.
And then, and then I feel like, didn't we call you?
Yeah, we called.
Yeah.
Called me. And he when got we on called, the phone. That's right. And said, I'm only doing this with your son-in-law because I said I wanted to talk to you. Well, you know, I was getting ready from the world I come from to say, fuck you, Jason, don't put me on. And then I heard the sound of his voice. I'm saying, this is real.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he carried on as you heard him. He was very complimentary and very nice. And
he loves you.
I was very touched, man. And it was very
cool. It's cool for us to experience all of that happening in front of our face.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. Very, very cool. Well, Paul, you've been killing it for a long, long time, many, many years to come. We can only hope to have the kind of longevity and relevance that you've had in this business and your success in your personal life, too. I mean, I'm a huge benefit of your offspring as well. And we got a couple of great grandkids of yours to prove it. And so I just love
beautiful.
You. And thanks for chatting with us.
Hey, guys. Right. It's been my pleasure, you know? My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you,
love
Paul.
You, Pop.
Good to be here.
Paul, thank you, the great Paul Anka.
I look forward to the dinner, guys.
Can't wait. That's a done deal.
Let me know when you're back and get it done. All right.
Bye, Paul.
See you, Polly.
Bye, guys.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. What a legend.
Yeah, that's cool. By the way,
Jason,
I mean, I
can't believe you guys haven't met him before.
I've never met him.
I'm not kidding.
I'm not kidding either.
Like, that we haven't met him yet.
Well, I'm so
You've
excited.
Been like, yeah,
you
he's
guys,
great.
You
You're
guys
like, oh, yeah, he's great. I love him. He's great. And I'm like, I would be... Yeah. I can't believe that you haven't like paraded him and being like, Sean and Will, you guys are going to love this guy.
I wasn't even sure that you guys were going to be cool with me bringing him on.
Why are you talking about it?
It's just so self-serving. You know, I mean, he's my father-in-law and
he's
like, I want to bring him on and chat with him. But
you
did. Do you ever call him Panka?
Do you ever think about us?
Panka. No, but that can be your little pet name for him.
Yeah, Panka.
No, you guys were very, very sweet to him. Thank you.
I'm dead serious. I wanna sit down with him. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, he'll talk to you every day.
I was gonna know if he's ever whacked anybody.
Oh, that's a great question.
I know that Sean has, but that's different.
That was mutual.
Oh my God. Well, that was a
Sean. Anyway. Sean got let into the mob because they asked him. The first thing he said, he says, "I love whacking people." Like, well, you're in.
Just sign here. Okay. That same app that your friend uses.
the same. Howdy. Can you?
That's amazing. By the way. Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I'm really blown away, Jay. I really am. I just love him. And loving Amanda as much as we do as well, as much as I do, just seeing her dad and starting to understand, putting the pieces together.
Yes, that's what I was doing,
like,
too.
I met one of Amanda's sisters. I remember I played golf with Amanda's mom. You and I played golf with her mom years ago before she passed, which was such a treat.
Yeah.
And then just meeting her dad now, it just brought it all full circle, and it just makes me love Amanda even more.
Yeah, likewise. Yeah.
It's, wouldn't that mean that she came on and said hi? That was the first time I was on the show.
She's never done that. It was that's so right. cute.
We should have her on.
Yeah.
We should have her on.
You know, I mean, but that, now that starts to get really self-indulgent.
Now because we want to hear the real stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think I can be on that episode.
No, because she'll get too real. She'll be like, I told Jason. I told him.
Yeah.
Jay,
we'll just start fighting. It'll be a one-hour fight.
I want to echo, I didn't want to stay silent during that. I want to echo what Paul and Will were saying too, about what an incredible father you are, what an incredible person you are. Mm-hmm. I truly, and this is the episode to say that, and this is the time to say that. So I just think you're amazing, and hearing him love on you was just, you know, really cool. It was really
very nice. I feel like you're working into a bye here.
I am. Yeah. I wanted to quote some of the lyrics from the song My Way that I didn't know he wrote until today.
You can't say I did it by way.
Why not? Why not?
Because that's not a fucking thing.
Yes, it is.
I think you blew it.
You fucking blew it.
No, wait, I didn't blow it. Anybody who heard you say that knew exactly.
No, he's
going to
talk about sleeping with a man and a woman. And watch, he's going to do this whole, all these lyrics, right?
Go ahead, John.
I was going to do just the one lyric about I planned each charted course, each careful step. Along the byway.
Very
come on,
nice.
That's pretty great.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smart Less.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail, or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen to Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, and many more, Wondery means business.